This is the DX Audio Service for July 1986. Hello, I'm Fred Vobey, and welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for July. Let's step right over to the front page of DX News, the magazine of the National Radio Club. We're recording this edition of the DX Audio Service rather early in June, on the 7th of June to be exact, because of two factors, one of which is the new arrival soon to be coming to the Vobey household here, and second of all, we have a giant telethon coming up for St. Jude's at the TV station where I work, and that is going to be on the 21st of June, which is just a day after our editing starts here for the audio service. So we wanted to make sure that everything gets done for the audio service well ahead of time and all the tapes get off on time. So that's why this material is coming to you a slight bit early. The domestic DX Digest column is not with us on this edition of the DX Audio Service. We held the magazine up and the audio service up a few days when Dave's column finally got here. It had already been eaten by the giant letter eater at the post office. Thus, no domestic DX Digest column on this edition. Don't forget that AnarchCon 86 will be held on July 18th through the 20th. If you haven't made plans to attend, call Mike at the National Radio Club headquarters at area code 608-423-4159. And remember, no collect calls will be accepted. If you are planning on attending, let them know at HQ. It's very important. The 1986 National Radio Club Convention is coming up soon. You should contact Dave Schmidt real quick. It's your chance to talk to Mike Netter, Dave Schmidt, and many of the other National Radio Club members in person. We'll also have additional details a little bit later on here on the audio service. The 8th edition National Radio Club Logbook is now available to individual National Radio Club members only until August the 1st, 1986, that is. Then it'll be made available to anyone after that date. You ask us the last time the 7th edition came out, why not give us, the members, a special price prior to the publication of the book? Well, Mike Netter remembered, and now here's your chance. Order as many as you like, but order before August 1st, 1986. After that date, the price will be higher. The 7th edition National Radio Club Logbook, the last edition, is available now for $7 for U.S. and Canadian subscribers. U.S. $12 to the Caribbean, Central, and South America, U.S. $13 to Europe, U.S. $16 to Australia and New Zealand. Order from the Publication Center, care of Ken Chatterton, C-H-A-T-T-E-R-T-O-N, Post Office Box 164, Mansville, M-A-N-N-S-V-I-L-L-E, New York, 13661. At one time, we were looking at the possibility of putting that down onto magnetic tape for our blind members. However, no one really expressed any interest in putting the National Radio Club logbook onto tape. So if this has changed, please contact headquarters and let them know. From Ken Chatterton also comes word that WSEN in New York on 1050 is now oldies after 27 years as a country and western station. Also WTNY in New York on 790 went stereo May 31st using the Con system. From Dave Schweikart comes word that WBZE 1030 in Indian Head, Maryland went on the air on 525 with 50,000 watts daytime directional, Sequam stereo, and a religious format. The address is Waldorf Commercial Center, spelled W-A-L-D-O-R-F, Box 3B, Montgomery Lane, Waldorf, Maryland, and the zip code is 20601. From William Mosier comes word that KWSK 1330 in Wyshed, North Dakota, had an early morning fire on May 22nd that gutted the studios and offices. The station is currently off the air. but no one knows for sure if this is permanent or just temporary. Several members have inquired about a swap trade sell column. Well, the DXChange deadline is July 1st, 1986. I realize that you don't have much time to get your information in, but this information was just supplied to us just before this editing. If you have something to sell, buy, or trade, or whatever, get your information to Russ Edmunds, E-D-M-U-N-D-S, by July 1st. Send your stuff to Russ at 753 Valley Road, Bluebell, Pennsylvania, 19422. And when the DXChange column does come out, we'll have it here on the audio service. We've been receiving quite a few letters lately and seem like some of you are reading between the lines again. Well, it must be the ink seeping through the pages of DX News again, or else printing through the tapes. We'd like to make mention of some of those letters, and in fact, we had a lot of letters on the printed matter side, so we'd like to get to a short little article written by Mike Knitter. First of all, as far as the DX audio service is considered, many people have been very happy with the audio service and what we've been doing with it, and we've been taking a lot of your comments to heart and putting together some special presentations and working on articles of interest. And we'd like to thank all of you that have written to us here at the audio service. And to be honest with you, about 99% of those letters have been very favorable. Well, most of what follows pertains only to the membership of DX News, the printed version of the National Radio Club's magazine. However, Mike wanted this passed along to all so that everyone knows what's happening in the club. Mike writes the following. Seems like when we've been getting a few letters lately on some stuff that I deal with here. Seems like a lot of members in both the National Radio Club's DX News and DX Audio Service have been directing their comments to the column editors instead of here. So instead of answering all of your letters separately, I decided to answer them here. About FM. We're not taking over nor competing with the FM club. If we wanted to do that, we'd do it correctly, like a separate magazine. At this point in time, we don't have plans on starting a separate magazine. We're only allowing those of you that wish to share your FM catches without having to spend the money on another subscription to another magazine. By the way, I see no reason why we have to stay with just AM. Look at the other clubs. They have AM, FM, utilities, etc. If they can expand their areas, why can't we? Besides, this club used to have a shortwave and FM column a long time ago. About decisions made here at HQ, first some facts. We are not a democratically run club like others. I hold regular meetings with selected advisors, many not in the National Radio Club or any club. Ideas that are passed on are not decided on in a moment's notice. There are a lot of hours put into every detail and every outcome. Headquarters is also involved with the research and development into new products and PR work to the outside world. It is simply impossible to pass on all the information that is processed here at HQ to you, the member. However, we do pass on what we feel is needed by you to know. To take the time to prepare a decision to be voted on by the membership would require a lot of time and work, and neither is available here in large quantities. Plus, there are many items that we will not release until it happens. Why let the competition, if there is any, take the idea and run with it? About the column editors, we are all volunteers. All the editors have taken time out of their lives to help the club and you, the member. Someone has to do it, and they have volunteered their time. They get no benefits other than having their name at the top of the page or read on the audio service. Under this administration, there are not to be any editors criticized at. If you have something negative you'd like to say, say it to headquarters and not to the editors. Their job is to type and edit the material and not to take the abuse. That's Mike's job, not theirs. About magazine content, the magazine has undergone a lot of changes over the past 50 plus years. In just the last 5 years, it has also changed. Look at the magazine today. The magazine is broken down into five basic areas. 1, logbook information. 2, DX catches. 3, articles and otherness. 4, musings. And 5, publications and convention information. We can always use more and different kinds of articles. If you have any ideas, let us know, or better yet, write it up in an article and send it to us. On DX catches, DDXD and IDXD are in areas in which you, the member, tell us what you've heard. How come IDXD and DDXD are such small columns sometimes? Well, it's because of you. If you don't send Chuck, Dave, or Nancy anything, what are they supposed to print? Make up stuff like the other clubs do? I think not. About being an Eastern club, Club HQ is located in Cambridge, Wisconsin, Midwest. DDXD West Editor is located in Aberdeen, Washington, West Coast. IDXD Editor is located in Atlanta, Georgia, South. And the Musings Editor is located in Panorama City, California, West Coast. Now, according to my latest Rand McNally U.S. map, none of these locations are located in the eastern part of the U.S. If your map is different, may I suggest you buy a new one? An Eastern club, rubbish to that thought. On membership, we have just as many members on the west coast of the Mississippi River as we do on the east side. About publishing the membership roster, unlike our so-called competition, it would take 16 pages of the DX News to list our membership. We do not have the space to run such a list. Why is the list kept from the membership? It has never been. It is available to you as a member for the asking. The list, however, is not for sale to businesses. That from Mike Knitter, editor of DX News Magazine. Now let's step right over to the AM Switch column with Jerry Starr.
Hi, this is Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. For the DX audio service, let's dive right in. A lot of call letter changes on edition number 123. Starting way down at the bottom of the AM dial on 540, news station in Ferris, Texas, will be KLCA. 550, news station in Sun Valley, Nevada, will be KJOR. 640, news station Atlanta, Georgia, WPBD. 670, news station in Commerce City, Colorado, KPBL. 690, KZKZ, Flagstaff, Arizona, changes to KVNA. On 760, WJCZ, Brandon, Florida, will be WEND. On 770, news station in Lynn Haven, Florida, will be WWSS. Also on 770, KXA, a long-standing three-letter call in Seattle, Washington, is changing to KRPM. On 830, news station in Charlotte, North Carolina, will be WMPF. Also on that frequency, news station in Sanssouci, South Carolina, will be WGCF. 840 WNUY, MIMS, Florida, changes to WPGS, and a new station in Plover, Wisconsin, will be WTLI. Two changes on 850, WIVS, Crystal Lake, Illinois, changes to WAIT, now that that call has been dropped by the Chicago station. New station in Waldport, Oregon, will be KBBM. On 960, KLZX, Provo, Utah, changes to KFMY. On 990, KGIC in Beaumont, Texas, changes to KYND. 1050, news station in Kinzie, Montana, takes the call KCCA. 1090, WAQE, Rice Lake, Wisconsin, becomes WMYD. On 1130, WSFU, Tallahassee, Alabama, will be WACQ. On 1160, news station in Trumansburg, New York, will be WJCU. Two changes on 1170, WFSC in Windsor, Colorado, becomes WVVS, and KJAS, Jackson, Missouri, will be KUGT. 1190, news station in Royal Palm Beach, Florida, becomes WOOO. And on 1200, the new station in Eureka, California will be KTCD. On 1230, WRLX, Tuscaloosa, Alabama becomes WLTO. Also on that frequency, KOCL in Murray, Utah becomes KMGR. And WKLR, Norfolk, Virginia, will remain WNOR. They had applied for WKLR, then had that application set aside, and will retain their original call of WNOR. On 1250, new station in Fraser, Colorado will be KGRJ. Two changes on 1270, WKHQ, Charlevoix, Michigan becomes WKOS, and a new station in Baxter, Minnesota will be WJJY. 1310, WMLF, Indianapolis, Indiana becomes WTUX. 1340, KNZS in Pittsburgh, Kansas goes back to their former call of KSEK. 1350, WMRS, Laconia, New Hampshire will be WKLR. 1370, WGPL, Washington, Georgia goes back to their former call of WLOV. On 1430, WLRQ, Madison, Tennessee becomes WNKZ. 1450, new station in Buena Vista, Colorado will be KDMN. 1460, KKHT, Colorado Springs, Colorado changes to KKCS. 1480, KIDI, Gooding, Idaho will be KRXR. 1490, new station in Dardanelle, Arkansas will be KZAO. And 1530, KECK, Lincoln, Nebraska changes to KHAT. Two changes on 1560, KFMN, Abilene, Texas will be KKSL. And KARP, Sumner, Washington changes to KFRS. Three changes on 1580, WSSL, Centerville, Mississippi changes to WZFL. WPMP, Pascagoula, Mississippi will be WPMO. And WBQZ, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina changes back to their former call of WJIK. On 1590, WSKR, Atmore, Alabama will be WIGL. And WYHT, Jackson, Mississippi, will be WZRX. And finally, at the other end of the dial on 1600, WTRU, Muskegon, Michigan, will become WSNX. A number of applications for new stations have been filed since we talked to you last. They include on 600, Ellettsville, Indiana, 800, Aguada, Puerto Rico, on 830, Cibolo, Texas, 840 Thomasville, Georgia, 880 Longwood, Florida, 890 South Tucson, Arizona, 910 Cassopolis, Michigan, on 940 Blennerhassett, West Virginia, on 1050 Wasco, California and Winchester, Nevada, on 1080 in Edwardsville, Illinois, 1090 in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, 1100 in Umatilla, Florida, on 1150 in Everett, Washington. This will be another one of those synchronous transmitters, which will be synchronous with KGNW in Seattle. The power on that, by the way, is going to be 40 watts if it's approved. On 1170, new station applied for in Quinby, South Carolina. Three new applications on 1180 in Pooler, Georgia, Linden, North Carolina, and Orangeburg, South Carolina. On 1290 in Garrisonville, Virginia, on 1550 in Apple Valley, California, and finally on 1600 in Minnetrista, Minnesota. Those are all applications for new stations. Now let's take a look at new stations which have been granted by the FCC since our last edition. On 550 Sun Valley, Nevada, 500 watts non-directional day only. On 820 Jasper, Tennessee, 1,000 watts day only non-directional. On 840, Gardnerville, Nevada, 10,000 day, 1,000 nights, directional nights only. On 900, Del Norte, Colorado, 1,000 watts, non-directional, daytime only. On 970, in Waimea, Hawaii, 5,000 watts, day and night, non-directional. On 1020, Homeland Park, South Carolina, that will be 1,000 watts, daytime only, non-DA. On 1120, Petal, Mississippi, a kilowatt daytime non-directional. on 1210 Rockland, California, 10,000 day, 500 nights. That will be directional daytime, non-directional nighttime. And on 1290 Meridian, Mississippi, a kilowatt daytime only, non-directional. A number of applications have been filed with the FCC from existing stations. As always, we'll take a look at some of the highlights, which will eventually make a difference to DXers in case any of these are granted. On 740 WGSM, Huntington, New York would like to add 500 watts at night and change their antenna to U4. On 770 KOB, Albuquerque, New Mexico has applied to operate a 190-watt synchronous transmitter on 770 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. On 940 KSWM in Aurora, Missouri would like to move their city of license to Republic, Missouri and become full-time with 5,000 watts day and night. On 1280 KREL, Henderson, Nevada would like to move to Paradise, Nevada and become full-time with 5,000 day, 360 watts at night. On 1410 KCNR, Portland, Oregon also wants to move. They'd like to go to Park Rose, Oregon and become full-time with 5,000 day and 1,000 night. On 1470 WQSN, Kalamazoo, Michigan wants to go full-time by adding a kilowatt at night and going directional at night. And on 1580 WKKD in Aurora, Illinois would like to go full-time by adding 250 watts of power at night. Here are some highlights from grants that have been made to existing stations. 600 WSOM in Salem, Ohio, their power is raised to a kilowatt. 710 WKRG, Mobile, Alabama, night power goes to 1,000 watts. On 790 WAEB, Allentown, Pennsylvania, raises their night power to 5 kilowatts. 970 WJMX, Florence, South Carolina, night power is raised to 3,500 watts. On 1090 WRBK in Flomaton, Alabama, raises their power to 8,600 watts. On 1120 WWCC, new station not on the air yet in Concord, Massachusetts, raises their day power to 5,000 watts. On 1180 KERI in Wasco, California, the day power is raised to 50 kilowatts and the antenna is changed to U4. On 1220 KLIP, Fowler, California, they will move to 1210. They'll have 10,000 watts a day and 1,000 watts at night, and the antenna will be U5, in other words, directional daytime, non-directional nighttime. Also on 1220 KLPW in Union, Missouri, they will reduce their power to 740 watts and make changes in the antenna system. On 1360 KUIK in Hillsboro, Oregon, raises their day power to 5,000 watts. 1390 KBXT, Duluth, Minnesota, moves to 1490 kilohertz, where they will be full-time with a kilowatt day and night. 1400 up in Canada, CFLD, Burns Lake, British Columbia. They have been granted a move to 760 kilohertz with a kilowatt day, 500 watts at night. 1480 WPWC in Dumfries Triangle, Virginia, raises their day power to 1,000 watts. And on 1580 KTLU, Rusk, Texas, their power is changed to 840 watts. Now let's take a look at our otherness column. News from all over the AM broadcasting business. We start on 670, where KPBL, Commerce City, Colorado, a CP that was granted a number of years ago. So far the station has not been built. They requested an extension of the CP, and that request was dismissed by the FCC. That means either one of two things. Either they have decided not to build the station, or that the station is already near completion and the extension is not required. Which of those is the truth? We should know in the next edition. On 680 KLDY in Lacey, Washington, is granted an extension of a CP for a new station until December the 8th. On 720 WWII, Shiremanstown, Pennsylvania, this CP is being advertised in some of the broadcasting magazines as being for sale, so don't expect to hear this new station on the air soon. On 750 WZOM in Brookport, Illinois, is granted an extension of a CP for a new station until 10-23-86. 770KPLA, Riverbank, California, has announced their target date for this new station will be October of 86. Also on 770KXA in Seattle, this station is temporarily silent, expected back on the air by the end of June with the new calls, KRPM. That will have a country format at that time, by the way. On 820WRFA, Largo, Florida, is now operating on this frequency, formerly on 800. On 830KGLR, Tucson, Arizona, this new station is on the air now with a religious format. 840KVEG, North Las Vegas, Nevada, their target date for operations of this new station is fall 1986. Also 1840, north of the border, CKBX in 100 Mile House, British Columbia, they have now moved here to 840. They were on 1240. 870KROL, Lachlan, Nevada, target date for this new station and also their East Las Vegas synchronous transmitter, both supposed to be on the air the first week in July, according to sources at the station. On 890KPTO, Citrus Heights, California, their target date, late June 1986. On 1030KXZI, San Luis Obispo, California, target date, August 1986. 1040KKRE, Monument, Colorado, this new station is announcing they will be on the air in July of 1986 with a contemporary all-music Christian format. On 1180WJJN in Newburgh, Indiana, this CP has been advertised for sale, so don't expect to see this station on the air in the near future. 1220WNNR, Hamden, Connecticut. This station is silent, expected to return to the air soon with an oldies format. 1300WGRC, Spring Valley, New York. This station also reported to be silent. 1330WSPQ, Springville, New York. This new station is on the air full-time. They have a MOR format. On 1340WALH, Mountain City, Georgia, another new station which is now on the air. On 1350WJEB, Gladwin, Michigan, this station is now silent. Might note that their FM is also silent. On 1360WKAT, Miami Beach, Florida, they had requested to raise their night power to 2,300 watts to attempt to overcome some Cuban interference they're experiencing. That application was denied by the FCC, citing potential interference to WWNK, also on 1360 in Cincinnati. On 1390 WBXT, Duluth, Minnesota, we mentioned earlier that station moving to 1490. They are presently silent, not operating on either of those frequencies. We assume they are making the technical changes needed to move to 1490 and will be returning to the air shortly. On 1440 WCHB in Inkster, Michigan, appears to have been given second life, at least temporarily, by the FCC. Inkster, Michigan, and also WBZY, 1140 Newcastle, Pennsylvania, had both applied to move to 1200 kilohertz. The initial decision was to permit the move to the Newcastle station and deny the move to WCHB in Inkster. WCHB has been granted a rehearing on the initial decision. Each station has a short amount of time to make oral arguments, and then the final decision will be made by the FCC. So there is still a chance that WCHB in Inkster may be moving to 1200. Also a chance WBZY may be denied that move. By the next time we report to you, the whole thing should have cleared considerably. On 1530 WTME, Auburn, Maine, station was silent. It's back on the air with simulcast of programs being carried by WKTQ on 1450 in South Paris, Maine. 1570 KTOR, Grover City, California, has been granted an extension of construction permit for new station until November the 3rd. 1590 WTRW, Twin Rivers, Wisconsin, this station is now silent. And on 1600, we mentioned the call letter change earlier, WSNX, Muskegon, Michigan. They were silent as WTRU. They are back on with the new calls and a simulcast of their FM. That just about wraps it up for this edition of AM Switch number 123. We want to close with a reminder to all you who use the audio service that much of the information we get comes from other places than the FCC public notices and the FCC database, although that is where all our technical information comes from. You, the membership, provide us with information of new stations coming on the air, or stations going silent, or new facilities being initiated. In other words, you may have a local station that was daytime and was granted a full-time license. Sometimes it takes several years for those operations to get on the air, but when you do notice that happening, or you do notice a new station on the air in your area, or you happen to notice a station going off the air in the area, please let us know. That information comes from you a lot quicker than it finally gets through the gears down in Washington, D.C. Our address is 401 North Blaine Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio, 44505. That does it for this edition. I'll see you next month. This is Jerry Starr for AM Switch from the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Plan to attend the 1986 National Radio Club Convention in Delaware. This year's convention will be held at the Wilmington Ramada Inn, located on Route 13 at I-295 in Newcastle, Delaware, over Labor Day weekend, Friday, August 29th to Monday, September 1st. Room rates are $48 single, $54 double, and $6 for an extra person. However, you can pre-register at the special National Radio Club rates of $36 single, $42 double, and $6 for extra person. 6% Delaware room tax not included. A 50% deposit, check or money order is required and should be made payable to the Ramada Inn. If you are staying with another person, you should indicate whom you are staying with and, if possible, enclose both reservations in one envelope. Deadline for the special rate is August 1st. After that, you'll have to make your reservation directly with the Ramada by calling area code 302-658-8511. Banquet food selection will be either breast of chicken or roast beef. If you are planning on flying in, you should contact headquarters so the necessary connections can be made for your pickup to avoid a costly cab ride. Amtrak is 5 minutes away and Philadelphia International is 25 minutes away. For additional details, write to Dave Schmidt, your convention host, 42 Chelwine Road, spelled C-H-E-L-W-Y-N-N-E, Castle Hills, Newcastle, Delaware, 19720. If you want a registration form, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the DX Audio Service, 706 McKenzie, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Hope to see you in Delaware, and hope to see you in Lima in 1987.
A radio disc jockey known as Truckin' Bozo was credited with assisting in the swift apprehension of a man accused of robbing a convenience store clerk nearly 1,000 miles from his station. Authorities said Dale Summers, who has the early morning talk show Interstate 700 on Cincinnati's WLW, was taping a telephone conversation with Lyndon Driscoll when he sensed something was wrong and phoned Camilla, Georgia police. All of a sudden, right in the middle of a sentence, she said, "You can't come in here," he recalled. "I asked, are you in trouble?" And she said, "Yes." Mrs. Driscoll, age 41, said she was talking to Summers at 2:15 in the morning when a man walked behind the store counter, pulled a kitchen knife from under his sweater and ordered her to hang up the phone. "I was stunned," she said. "Dale could tell from the tone of my voice that I was in trouble. I'm glad he did what he did." The man took $57 from the cash register and fled, according to police. Walter L. Irvin Jr., age 28, a Mitchell County resident, was charged with one count of armed robbery. Investigator David Forrester said police would try to determine if he was linked to any other convenience store robberies in Camilla, a town of 5,400 people in southwest Georgia that has had 9 such crimes in 2 months. Summer's show features country music and is geared to truckers and others who work all night. It reaches 38 states and Canada. Reached at her daytime job as a waitress in Pelham,
Ms. Driscoll said she often calls Summers because she sympathizes with the problems of truckers. She said the robber ordered her to the floor, but as soon as he departed, she phoned police too. They were just there in a couple of moments, she recalled. Then I started shaking. Thank goodness for friends, even if they're that far away. For the DX Audio Service, this is Phil Tallman.
We've all heard stories of DJs locking themselves in the studio and seizing control of the station. Often it's a well-managed publicity stunt. Well, you be the judge in this latest version, which comes from a Pittsburgh Press reprint in DX News, sent in by member John Malachy. Significantly dated April 1st, the headline reads, DJ does 2.5 hour number on job woes. The Associated Press reports that in Arcadia, Florida, a country music disc jockey who said he was fed up locked himself in his studio and played Take This Job and Shove It at varying speeds until police escorted him out. DJ Charlie B. began playing the Johnny Paycheck hit just after 5 p.m. and attracted about 250 curious listeners to the WAPG-AM and WOKD-FM studios before he left after 7:30 p.m. Ignoring the pleas of management and friends, B. played the song over and over, barricaded inside the control booth. Among the complaints he aired were that he had to work on his 49th birthday. The little people are important, B told his listeners. Eventually, the sound of pounding on the booth door was heard over the strains of the song, followed by another comment from B. This is my show and they're not going to tell me what to do. Then, said listener Dolly Goldman, Arcadia police officer Dan Ford asked B, Charlie, don't you want to go home? B left quickly with Ford, but was not arrested. He was relieved by disc jockey Bill Madison, who dedicated the song to him and played it one last time. Station manager Dixie Dacus said B mentioned his birthday several times Friday. Neither she nor B knew whether he would be fired. This is Harry Dentz for the DX Audio Service. Back to you, Fred.
The FCC says many radio stations have become lax about their official hourly identifications in recent years, and now it plans to begin cracking down on those violators for the first time with fines of $500. Official IDs must include a station's call letters and actual community of license. It's been obvious in spot checking from time to time that you get everything under the sun, according to WE Hours of the FCC Field Operations Bureau. Some stations are and some stations are not complying with the rule. Hours says, compliance is especially lax away from metropolitan areas, where FCC inspections are less frequent. He told of listening to some stations for hours on end without hearing an official ID, while other stations are very precise. Hours observed, it runs the whole gamut from nothing up to perfection. The increased use of on-the-air promotional slogans in place of call signs is undoubtedly a major factor in the lack of compliance. Some broadcasters may also have been confused by the 1983 rule change permitting stations to adopt dual or multiple city IDs at will. The decision to begin issuing fines for ID errors was contained in the new Mass Media Bureau policy statement adopted in December and released last month. FOB's Hours explained, "We want to tell them in advance before we start dumping them." He noted that inspectors won't be specifically searching for ID violations. Rather, he said, transgressions will be noted in the course of routine monitoring or monitoring that precedes a station inspection. Hours said fines will typically be $500, but could be higher or lower depending on the circumstances. In other changes under the new policy, The Field Operations Bureau, FOB, now has the authority to issue on-the-spot fines up to $10,000. Previously, any violation warranting a fine over $2,000 had to be referred to the Mass Media Bureau for action. The commission also warned stations that, once notified of a fine, they have 30 days to report on what corrective measures have been taken. Otherwise, a second fine of $1,000 will be imposed for not reporting the failure. What are the IDs, do's, and don'ts? Well, there are no guidelines governing how stations may promote themselves during unofficial IDs that don't occur at the top of the hour. However, the rules on official IDs are very specific. Stations must ID themselves at the beginning and end of each time of operation, plus hourly, as close to the hour as feasible, at a natural break in programming offerings. Official IDs must consist of calls, followed immediately by the actual community or communities of license. The only insertion permitted between the calls and the community is the name of the licensee, the station's frequency, or channel number, or both. Stations may add extra towns or cities into their official IDs as long as the community of license is mentioned first. Simulcasting AM-FM combos may air joint IDs, but if the call letters of the FM station do not clearly reveal that it is an FM station, the joint announcement shall so identify it. And that's what's happening with station IDs.
We thank you very much, if you will, for today, to and from.
Winding and cold, with periods of light snow and snow showers will hold in the 30s.
It's 8 o'clock on the full-service giant in Columbus. 610 WTVN Radio.
By the way, those ID compliances also apply when conducting equipment tests between midnight and 6 o'clock in the morning. This is Fred Fobey for the DX Audio Service.
The pitch, and there's a high fly ball that's going, 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 going.
Most people don't often consider the advantages of being a baseball fan in Cleveland. Granted, there aren't many positives if you limit yourself to being just an Indians fan, but for lovers of the game, this is one of the best locations in the nation. An audio tour of the major leagues can be enjoyed from the comfort of your porch swing or your patio lounge. Just dig out the old AM radio and spin the dial. A few out-of-town signals are very reliable. Detroit's WJR 760 on the dial booms across the lake day and night in stereo, and Cincinnati's WLW 700 on the dial provides a constant National League perspective. Ernie Harwell has been the voice of the Tigers for 25 years and is without peer as a play-by-play man, but the true joy of listening to Harwell comes oddly during rain delays when he'll spin a yarn about Old Hoss Radburn's 60 victories for Providence in 1884 or retell some other Hall of Fame fairy tale. When searching for the Reds game, lock the dial on 700 and wait. Joe Nuxall leads the league in dead air time, so what frequently sounds like nothing is usually something. Just listen for the crack of the bat. Often the fun is in the challenge. Try scoring a 14-inning game between Oakland and Minnesota when the Twins' WCCO 830 signal fades out 37 times between 10:30 in the evening and 3 in the morning. Or attempt to keep up with Harry Callis and the Philadelphia Phillies on WCAU 1210, despite the intrusive country music bleed-ins of local WGAR 1220. Nothing else, make sure to catch baseball today. The Toronto Blue Jays postgame show carried by CHYR 730 out of Leamington, Ontario. Fast-paced with reports from stadiums in both leagues, it's a first-rate production. Dr. Gerald Walker, chairman of the physics department at Cleveland State, explains that AM reception improves when the ionosphere, a layer of charged particles about 100 kilometers up, gains additional particles during periods of solar flares or meteorite showers. Distant radio waves are then more consistently deflected back to Earth. because of Cleveland's centralized position on the Major League map. 16 baseball radio broadcasts are available on most evenings from as close by as Pittsburgh or as far away as Arlington, Texas. They don't all come in as crystal clear as local powerhouse WWWE, but excitement has a way of cutting through the static. For the DX Audio Service, this is Phil Tallman.
From the May 7th issue of DX News comes this reprint about the blocked attempt of WJET-AM to switch to FM in the Erie, Pennsylvania market. Apparently the plan was for WMCY, the Mercyhurst College station, to slip into the vacant spot when WJET moved off AM. Headlined as FCC dismisses WJET application, apparent roadblock to Mercyhurst's FM license. Here's the April 10th news story. The Broadcast Bureau staff of the Federal Communications Commission has dismissed the application of Jet Broadcasting Corporation to substitute WSEG-FM for WJET-AM. Putting an apparent roadblock in Mercyhurst's attempt to get a clear signal frequency for the college's radio station. The FCC's decision, which was made public on Monday, April 7th, stated that it was not in the public's interest to make the proposed substitution, according to John Kanzius, vice president of WJET. If the request had been granted, WJET would have moved its broadcast signal from 1400 on the AM band to 102.3 on the FM side of the dial. Kanzius stated that WJET would file a plea for a rehearing of the request before the full commission by the week's end. We felt that the transfer would have significantly benefited the community in two ways, said Kanzius. First, the transfer would have allowed Mercyhurst College to acquire the WJET-AM slot for its campus radio station, and it would have allowed the listeners of WSEG to realize the benefits of WJET's resources and experience for weather, news, and entertainment in FM stereo. The FCC received petitions to block the substitution from three local broadcasting firms. JET was slated to have paid $950,000 for the FM station, which it claims would have saved the financially troubled station for the Erie market. Kanzius, who acknowledged that the WJET format of entertainment does better on FM stations, said his firm was looking at the long-term market and felt that the FM band would allow them to compete more head-to-head with K104 and Classy 100 for the contemporary audience. Gary Lornoff, the program director of WMCY, who was, quote, disappointed but not surprised by the announcement, pointed out that almost all radio is a business, and the protesting firms, like K104, are trying to protect their own interests. Lornoff continued, I think that JET would have been a threat to them, but I also think the real losers are the other AM stations, since they now have to continue to fight the dominance of JET in the local AM market. This is Harry Dentz for the DX Audio Service.
From around the nation, around the world, and the state of Iowa, comes the news now. Here's your K-Hawk Intelligence Report.
Well, actually, this is not your K-Hawk Intelligence Report. This is the DX Audio Service for July 1986. And that wraps up this side of the cassette. We'll flip over and hear from Phil Wayne on Market Scope. And in place of the Domestic DX Digest, we have a special guest interview. So stay tuned to the DX Audio Service.
From Chattanooga, across the nation, around the world, WMOC Radio's Action Center presents 20th Century News.